Bandwidth for the Frog Pants Studios network provided by Z Hosting at zhosting.com, providing reliable and affordable web solutions to everyone. Visit zhosting.com. That's zhosting.com.
This is Hypothetical Help with Scott and Terpster, neither of whom are actual therapists or counselors. Any advice given on this show is truly hypothetical.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Hypothetical Help. Yes, it is the show that gives you help, hypothetically, for problems that you have, and it is given by us. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined by Terpster. Hello, Terpster.
Hello, me.
Hello, you.
Hello.
It sounds like a song. Hello, me. Hello, you. It's like a Broadway hit.
Yeah, I think, well, there we go. Yeah. When do we get royalties?
Never.
I want to get rich off it.
Never. Is that one guy still making stuff? What's his name? A British guy.
Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, he wrote a sequel to Phantom of the Opera called Love Never Dies.
Oh.
But apparently it's kind of died a bit, so.
Oh, not so much interest.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting guy, that Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah, he looks like a kind of toad.
He totally looks like a toad. You know what? There's a bunch of guys his generation, like Tim Burton. They're all starting to look like little toads.
Yeah.
I think it's a
but
slow.
They're all really wealthy, so.
Yeah, so what do we know?
Maybe there's a whole sort of, you know, sell my good looks. For money.
It is never what it is cracked up to be. So yes, welcome back, everybody. By the way, did I mention show 17, episode 17? Crazy. We're on our way to the end of season 4 or
already.
2, which is episode 24. So looking forward to another big fat break in the middle. But we are loving the show. We hope you are as well.
We can't wait for a break. It is so enjoyable, but we cannot wait. Come on, episodes.
Came off wrong. Oh, well. All right. Well, let's just jump right in. We got a call about dating old friends, and this is, I don't know, this one deserves some thought.
Hey, Scott and Terpster, it's Brian. There's this girl that I like who's been a good friend of mine for a long time that I want to ask out on a date. How? Thanks. Hope to hear it on the show.
Well, 11-year-old boy.
Oh, my advice is going to be so wrong.
He seems pretty young, and it seems maybe like, that's fine. I mean, whatever. We have a rule in my house. Kids can't date till they're 16.
Like, really?
They
but
can't
that
date.
That means that you don't know about it.
Well, good point. But they just can't like date like official date. And I have a 16-year-old now, and she's dating, and that's fine. But up till now, it's like, oh, you can go. You know, there's plenty of parties and hanging out and going to movies and all this kind of stuff. But like official boy picks you up, takes you to dinner, kind of date.
Yeah.
Not till they're 16. So when that
so
when
it's
I hear
more of a kind of a social group.
Yeah.
Like when you're younger, that's fair.
And
enough.
What's funny is they're still sort of doing that anyway. Like. We're kind of the Kool-Aid house, is what we sometimes are referred to.
What?
I know, it seems like sinister.
It does.
Seems like
it's like, it's the Kool-Aid house. Oh, I'm like, what? Really? Yeah, don't go there.
It's like a Jim Jones camp, Guyana, whatever thing. But no, it's not like that. It's the kids all seem to want to hang out here. There's a good portion of that is because I have a lot of video games, and they all like video games. But also, it's just the place to come hang out. And they like us, and Kim's always making food. And we like it because it gives us a chance to sort of always know what's going on. Like, we just have an eye on everybody. Nobody's out committing larceny. Nobody's, you know, making babies.
Saving Utah, one social gathering at a time. The Johnsons.
Right.
That'd be brilliant.
And every parent wants to be able to sort of know what's going on. And the truth is, you can, you know, I mean, kids are going to be kids, and they're going to do what they're going to do. But we have a really good, strong relationship with her and her friends, and we like it that way. But this kid seems really young to be like, I'm going on a date. Woo! Hope I get lucky. See you later. See you, you know.
Is it going to be awkward after we have sex? I'm like, probably, because you're both 11, yeah. So that's going to be kind of weird.
It's a little awkward. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
So what do you like? I mean, we can apply this to older people, too. We can say, you know, hey, this applies to you 20-year-olds, too. So what do we tell them?
Totally. Going out with old friends, I don't know. I think it's as long. Well, it's tricky. The fact of the reality is most relationships at a young age don't last tremendously long. Now, it's not saying that this wouldn't, because there are people obviously who meet at a very young age and they live together, get married, and only ever live together. But in all likelihood, you'll probably have a great time together. But then you're going to change so much, events in your life change all the time, that somehow or another, you'll drift apart in some way. the thing you've got to ask yourself is, would you two hooking up, would that enrich your friendship? And would you be more likely to kind of get more out of that friendship? Or would it jeopardize that friendship to the point where, you know, you wouldn't want to lose that friend? And in fairness, while you have to come to terms with that in order to figure out if you actually do want to ask her out or not, if you do ask her, she'll have to do that same thing as well and try and figure out, like, yeah, of course I like him. You know, he's a great friend of mine. Do I like him, you know?
Yeah.
And even if I do I like him enough to jeopardize our friendship? It's a risky step, but I don't know. I think it's a positive one to take. You know, it's worth a stab.
I'm trying to think if I ever had a girlfriend or a girl that I dated who was previously my friend. And I don't mean just like that weird random, you know, Friday night, hey, let's go out and go Dutch kind of thing. But I mean, like, for real, like, I used to be a friend I'd hang out with.
Stick your finger in a dike. Is that the Dutch? Which one's the Dutch? The one with the boy in the dike?
Oh, the, sorry, you blew my mind with the phrase, put the finger in the dike.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, which is the Dutch.
Little Dutch boy, is it?
Yeah, I think it's little Dutch boy. I don't know. That's just when you say go Dutch, I'm just thinking, like, brilliant. Go, whatever you like.
I hadn't thought of that connection. No. Where does that come from?
Are you saying about sharing the bill?
Yeah,
you're going Dutch. That's fine. We use that as well. But I don't know why my mind went straight to the gut. I don't know either.
But now that you say it, I wonder where that...
I'm wondering if it is or not.
Yeah, it's like finding out one of these phrases like, oh, yeah, the old man put the thing up the mill with the car or whatever. And then you find out later it's some dirty, horrible, like, origin story to that phrase.
Would it be horrible if you went out with some Dutch people... And they were like, no, we're not going to pay anything, actually.
Right.
And you'd be like, but we just had a meal. I thought we were going Dutch. He's like, excuse me? What did you just say?
What, you're going Dutch? What?
Yeah. Do you all say that? And we're like, yeah, we all use that as a phrase. You racists. And then you've got a kind of, oh, well, I didn't know it meant any, you know.
The races, the Dutch race.
Yeah, the race of the Dutch. I think it's a superior race, so they can't get angry with me. There we go.
There, now you've solved. Everyone's happy after you're done saying that.
So you were saying.
No, I was saying. So I don't think there's a girl I ever did that with, like, dated after we were friends. I can't think of one. Like,
I think I have before.
Okay, so report. What? How did it go?
I'm trying to think now. Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure. I'm trying to think. Were we friends?
We're not.
No,
now,
I think. Yeah, but... yeah. No, I've been out with girls who are friends, and again, I still talk to some of the people. It's not, I don't know. I don't think I was ever like best friends, if you know what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't like they were in my social group, but I would see them and we'd chat and stuff. Actually, I'm trying to think if that still counts as friends. But anyway, I think it's, I still talk to people who I've had relationships with in the past. And, I think it's, it's obviously a different type of dynamic to what I'd have with other friends, but it's no less, valid as a friendship. So I think, I think it's a positive experience, I'd say. And in terms of how to ask, because, I mean, that's really what he was saying there. I don't know, really. Obviously, we've covered kind of chatter blinds before. I don't know. It's tricky. What would you say?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to forget he's young. Okay,
yeah.
I'm just going to wipe it out of my mind. Forget he's young for a minute. And I'm going to say, if you're just some person who's average age and you're asking, is it okay for me to ask a girl out who I've been friends with? I'm going to say absolutely yes. You ask her out. It doesn't hurt anything. What's the worst thing that happens? She says, ew, no. Or she says, no, I don't want to ever put our friendship at risk. Or whatever her answer is, it's not a terrible answer. You're still friends. It's not going to destroy this friendship. And who knows? She may feel this way about you, or after a couple of days, she may feel this way about you. It's difficult to say. The only thing that really can change the relationship is if you get weird about it. And I just say, don't be. Just be real casual about it and say, hey, well, you want to go on a date this weekend? I would totally, it'd be fun. I'd just take you to a movie or something and just see what she says. And you know what? The reason I think it's a good idea for him is he's young and he could stand to learn a thing or two about
Totally.
About how to be assertive and how to kind of go after what you want and not be afraid to take steps that seem scary and crazy. So I say, regardless of the outcome, this is a good exercise for you, young man.
Totally, yeah, and I think that's quite nice advice. Obviously, you know, you're disregarding his age, which is all good. I'm going to go one step further and disregard that he's a person. I'm going to say, like, right. If you were like a wizard, yeah. Okay, you could just go up to him and be like, hey, babe, how's it going? She's like, all right. And you go, whoa, why are we on a date? And she goes, what you took? Oh, my God. And you'd be already on a date. And that's the thing, you've magicked it all around. And she's and that's it then. Her mind has been blown.
Yeah.
So maybe just, you know, slip it in. Well, not that's a bad phrase. Maybe just take her out, you know, go out as friends, but just as the two of you, and kind of gently segue into more kind of, so, how you doing? Yeah. Oh, yeah, what's... God, that's funny that you like me as a friend. But a bit more than a friend, maybe, and just steer the conversation in the way you want it to be.
Just slowly touch her hand, and if she doesn't punch you in the nuts, you know you're okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Once you're holding hands, it's all good. I think that could work. I think that might be, if you're friends, if you're good friends, you might be able to just slowly confuse her to a state where she forgets that and just thinks, we must be going out. That must be what's happening. And you're like, yes, that is what's happening. I can't believe, ever since the amnesia you've had, that you forgot that. You know, we're married. No, that wouldn't work. That's too far. But still, I think that might be a way of just gradually just, you know.
Your recommendation is to, like a vampire, you should glamour her into
an extent. I think just over a longer period of time, just slowly step it up. And just gauge the reaction, maybe. Yeah. Maybe, see about, you know, when you're walking along one time, you know, if she wants to hold hands, nothing wrong with that. It's nothing, you know, you have to be boyfriend and girlfriend to hold hands. We're just good friends holding hands.
Right.
Who cares what other people say?
Yeah. Screw other people is what I say.
Yeah, exactly.
But don't take that literally.
Yeah, exactly. If you're in a relationship.
Yeah, I realized I just gave some terrible advice for him. Screw everybody. Oh, whoa. Slow down.
Whoa. Hypothetical help. Would just like to remind you all that this help is purely hypothetical.
We put the pathetical in hypothetical help.
We do.
Moving on to dysfunctional family issues. Boy, this doesn't ring home for my family per se, but something that my family dealt with. Let's hear it out.
Hey guys, how you doing? It's Karen from Philadelphia. I love the show. Please help me. Help me to deal with my dysfunctional family, brothers and sisters. We're all in our 50s, one of us in our 60s, just at each other's throats, taking care of mom is 88 and has quite a bit of money. And we're all at each other's throats. Please help me. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. I love the show.
Okay, I love her accent, by the way.
It's nice.
Huge fan of the Philadelphia area accent that people get.
I like that song by Elton John, Philadelphia Feeling.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you? Because I like there's not much I like about Elton John.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Kind of drives me. It's probably because he reminds me of he looks like my mom.
He does. He looks like a lot of people's moms.
Yeah,
doesn't he?
Short blonde hair. Kind of has that older, shortish hair, let's go shopping mom kind of look to him.
I think the thing that makes it weirder is that he wears a wig, so he could have any hair conceivable.
Yeah.
He could have even hair that can't be normal hair, can't be grown.
Plus,
you're thinking that is crazy hair, and he's like, yeah, it's a wig. I can do whatever I want with it.
Plus,
and
he
chooses old mum hair.
Well, yeah, he totally goes the old mum route, but he also has these earrings and a shot of him at some event that are little penises. He has little penis earrings, and I just can't see my mom wearing those.
You can't shake that. No, exactly. Mom, what are you wearing? Oh, it's Elton John. Sorry, that's all right. Carry on playing. It's fine.
Yeah, sorry. I like keep singing. Yellow Brick Road, everything's fine. I kind of like old, I like 70s Elton John with the huge platform shoes. And
yeah?
Yeah, that stuff's cool. Totally into that. When he didn't look like my mom, I liked him a lot.
Brilliant.
Anyway, back to the point. Dysfunctional families and her cool accent. So... My grandmother died back in 1998. She was 83 years old, and she had a brief but sort of horrible cancer thing she had to deal with, and we all rallied around her and did everything we could and everything else, and my mom and her sisters were all very tight at this point, and we're all very helpful to each other through this whole thing, and there's no brothers, and there was no husband left. My grandpa died like 10 years before that. And so it was just the sisters and their families. So I'm like my mom and her kids and all of us just trying to do our thing to help them through this. As soon as grandma was dead, I mean, literally almost the day she was dead, the fighting started between the sisters about who was going to get what. And my grandma was not some like rich lady or anything, but she had a bunch of sort of nostalgic things. And
oh, yeah. And like things you've grown up with. And you'd be like, oh, yeah. No, I always used to play with that. And she always said that I could have that. You know?
Yep. Yep.
You get. Oh.
And one sister like took everything and didn't say anything. And another sister felt like she was entitled to everything. And my mom was just kind of like in the middle going, I don't know what to do with all this. Or, excuse me. Elton John was in the middle trying to figure out what to do. And it just got really ugly. And they fought and they argued and they whatever. And I can only imagine that this was going to be 1,000 times worse when there's a bunch of money involved.
Mm.
Because everybody feels like they need to get what they need. So you sound like somebody, I think it was Karen is her name.
Yeah.
You sound like somebody who's really genuinely concerned about this situation and preserving the integrity of the family and that you're not driven by greed because you're asking the question. And so I would recommend you do this since you seem to be the only person thinking this way. You should go find a lawyer if there isn't already one, and that lawyer should get with your mom in her waning moments and figure out a will and make it rock solid in any way that she wants, whatever her desires are. That automatically locks everyone else out. They don't get to divvy stuff up. They don't get to decide that someone's more deserving than the other. It's all done in a way that is legally binding, and they can't do poop about. And if she decides to distribute the wealth totally equally amongst everybody, awesome. Then everyone benefits the same. If she decides all of it should go to you, well, then nerds to everyone else. I mean, it's the only way to have the issue not be about each other and have the issue be about the will itself.
Yeah. I mean, the tricky thing here is a case of obviously of the state of her mother in terms of what condition she's in if she is able to draw together a will. It's something that I think is a good piece of advice to everyone, any age. You know, knock up a little document somewhere, get some other people to witness it. That's a will. We're all good. And it will just, it can stop people getting pushed apart by the loss of a close one. And I think it's tricky as well if you've got people who are looking after your mum now, if your family's all kind of taking it in turns. Again, people feel entitled to particular things. And I think you're right, Scott. The only way you can really fairly distribute that is to do what your mum would want.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully if she is able to tell you that, that's really the only solution. Everyone has their own opinion as to, you know, what they think they should have. And ultimately it's one of those things that, it's a terribly sad moment for anyone involved. But some people's minds do completely switch across to, all right, okay, well, what's mine?
Yeah.
And it's sad. And again, it can really drive families apart.
Money sucks. Money ruins everything.
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
It screws up. So I'm not to say people can't be responsible or whatever. Surely they can. But so many times, more often than not, it just seems like money just corrupts the crap out of stuff.
Exactly. And that's again the benefit. If you had a clearly marked out will in advance, then this would all be kind of, you know, regardless of how they felt, they would, if they were upset, then they would blame the person who was gone rather than the people who are still around who probably need each other to cope for the person who's gone, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I always think that it's a terrible thing when it does happen. It always happens far too much. I think most people, if they've had, you know, big families and things like that and someone's gone, they'll know that there's always someone who feels they've kind of missed out or been let down, or and then that just can alienate other people. I think the problem here also can be with Karen, if she kind of tries to take a step back and be diplomatic, is that she may just find that even then her kind of efforts are completely ignored. And it just means that, she misses out on having anything to remember her mum by, any kind of little knickknacks and things like that as well. So it's important, like Scott's saying, if you can, to try and get that all sorted now, as horrible as it is to think about your death. It's important to, put something in place in case that happens.
Yeah, do it now. Start early. And by the way, just a side note, it's got nothing to do with anything, but occasionally I hear a voice on the show and I'll think, man, that's someone I could totally talk to, hang out with.
just from a voice.
Yeah, it's yeah. And I realize that's not enough information. I'm probably wrong 90% of the time, but she sounds like somebody I could totally talk to and hang out with.
I'd like to do it like in Brewster's Millions. Have you seen that?
Yeah, with Richard Pryor and John Candy.
I'd like
Candy
to do like a video, Will. And if I had a lot of money, I'd be like totally like, you have to spend loads of money so that you get sick of spending it. And just because it was a really good film, so it must work. So,
yeah, that was actually that was actually a pretty good movie. I'm not a huge fan of Richard Pryor movies. I think Richard Pryor himself, like, as
he's a stand-up
is amazing. Yeah, he's really good. But I never could really get behind too much of those movies. But that was one that was all right. I kind of
I enjoyed it. John Candy as well. You can't go wrong.
No, I kind of have a rule with John Candy. I'll see him in anything. Doesn't matter what. I love him. I wish he was still alive. Boy,
if he had a will. He probably had a will.
He probably did. He left his vast planes, trains, and automobiles fortune to someone. I don't think he had any kids though. I'm not sure about that. Yeah, I don't think he ever got married, had any kids or any of that. Not sure.
I like Uncle Buck. That's my favorite John Candy one.
Uncle Buck's pretty good. Planes, Trains is my favorite by far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie. But then again, John Hughes does no wrong.
Curtain Ring Salesman. I think that's a good job.
I love it. all right, moving on to our final call today. It deals with friends that make out too much.
Hi, Scott and Terpster. Now, I have two friends who have recently started going out and
okay, by the way, you may recognize
definitely
the voice.
A girl.
Yeah. She has called before. She called again. And so, yeah, you're not hearing double or thinking you're listening to the same episode again. It is actually
she's her. Not scared of train crossing still, is she?
No,
come on.
This
we've
is
already
all
told
past.
You.
Yeah,
just stand on there and see if a train actually hurts when it hits you.
Now she's afraid of making out.
And although I'm over the moon for them, they will insist on very public displays of affection. Now, at first, I was, you know, okay with this. You know, they're in a new relationship, they're excited, let them be. But it's now reached the stage that you cannot hold a conversation with either of them without them making out in the middle of it. Is there any way I can politely ask them to stop sucking face in public? Because A, it's making me feel really awkward, and B, we can't even talk to them anymore.
The question is, are they wearing anything under the kilt?
That's some good racism. Yeah. I like
The
Scottish race. Yeah. I like the idea of setting up a website called friendsmakingout.com.
Yeah.
And it's probably already taken. And just filming them. And they'd be like, why are you filming you? And you'd be like, oh, I thought since you were wanting to do it in front of everyone that I could put it on the internet and make some money from it. And they'd be like, whoa, what are you doing? Don't do that. And you'd be like, well, why not? We don't want everyone to see. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So stop it. It's disgusting.
Friends,
trying to eat here.
Friendsmakingout.com is not taken.
Is it not? Oh,
nope.
There you go.
You should get it.
Do we have a GoDaddy code they could use for that?
They could. Frog1 they could use if they decided to.
You could use that, and then you get that even cheaper.
Yeah.
But I just think that would be a fantastic way of doing it. And if they're okay with it, then you've got a fantastic startup business, and I will already be an angel investor, and I will invest in that, and we'll push it to the top.
I agree. This is a way to humiliate your disgusting friends. Look, I as much as I want to agree with you, because I kind of do, that this is it's annoying when you're that third wheel friend and your friends are just doing nothing but making out. It's like, why are you even there kind of thing? But I was actually on the other side of this in high school, my junior year. I feel bad this even happened. But anyway, this girl who I'd liked for a couple of years, I never knew that she even had eyes for me, right? Junior year, yearbook day, I'm flipping through my yearbook and it had been passed around.
Did she write something, did she?
Yeah, she did. She says, I'm in love with you, something, blah, blah, bull crap, whatever.
Did you think, oh, that's my mate. Oh, you're such a, oh, you know I like her. Why are you writing that?
And so
in her handwriting. Oh my God, it's her.
Well, I went, looked at her. I said, dude, this is you? And she says, yeah. And I said, oh. I said, you want to go to the park with me later? She's like, yeah. So we moved. So we went to this park, and it was
your conversation's like some weird anime. Just, like playing Final Fantasy or something like that.
I date you later. And then I transform into some sort of bloody robot. But anyway, so we drive to
like Tim the Tool Man.
So we drive to this park, and my friend Mark is with us. And so far, it's just this friendly, let's go to the park and hang out and walk around or whatever. We get to the park, and before you know it, her and I are making out like thieves.
Boom, 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 boom. You got some guys playing the funky bass, and you're like, good timing, my friend. Good timing.
Yes, and my poor friend Mark is kind of like, what's good? You know, he sees this and is just like,
The problem, this was before video cameras and the internet were really widespread, so he couldn't go to friendsmakingout.com.
No, there was no such thing in his
upload
mind.
Upload a video. So. Yeah,
he could have done some Usenet 2400 baud, you know, connection, BBS maybe. Get on this BBS and spend 6 hours downloading a video of me and this girl making out in CGA
artistic
quality video.
Impression in MS Paint of Scott kissing girl of dreams.
I'm not even sure I had MS Paint at that point.
Oh, what? That's terrible.
Junior year? What was that? 87?
They just had Terpster. I know Terpster came out in 87. So.
Oh, really? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. You came out. That was the hot new thing that year.
Oh, I walked into that one.
Yeah,
oh,
nice work.
Flaming. Yeah.
But anyway, he was mortified by what I was doing, and he promptly left and was pissed at me. And so,
Did he like her?
It kind of worked. So no, he was just he was just mad that I was making him third wheel. He's like, "Why'd you even bring me?" You know. So I'm not saying be that mad, but I'm saying you could throw a little indignation their direction. So you guys, why are you even having me here if all you're gonna do is make out? And, you know, see what they say. I mean, what's the worst they could say?
We want you to join in. We'd
really like you to be a part of this three-way making a public display.
And I'd be like,
affection.
Well, maybe if one of you dressed up as a space marine and the other one as Sarah Kerrigan, we can talk about this.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call a hypothetical help throwback.
We do that
to
every
previous
now and
episode.
Then.
Yes, I think that would be brilliant. Yes, go for the threesome. That's our advice.
What are you complaining about? This is a perfect staging opportunity.
Brilliant idea.
Once in a lifetime opportunity. I don't know. I think it is just a case you obviously do need to just talk to them and make it clear to them that, you know, as much as you enjoy and you're happy for them, it's just a little bit much, really. And you suggest that maybe they should spend time doing that on their own time rather than in friend time.
Friend time.
Friend time.
Friend time is not kissing time, so tell them that, and good luck to you and all that you do. If you folks out there would like to be a part of this show and send us your calls and your questions, there are a few ways you can actually do it. The Gob Line is one. It's a phone number, 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0-GOB. You can also email us those MP3 attachments to podcast@hypotheticalhelp.com. Terpster people often go to over to the iTunes.
Twitter machine. Oh, in the iTunes.
Yeah, the iTunes, and they say, hey, we like your show.
We got one over in the UK that said it's from Dwarven Exodus. It's 5 stars. A recipe for hilarity. Ingredients. Yeah. One sick-minded Brit. One role model podcaster. Instructions. Cook for 20 minutes on a Korean barbecue. Season with good advice. And Terpster. Serves over 9,000 podcast addicts or one troll father.
Oh, wow.
So thank you very much, Dwarven Exodus. I assume you're all joking there with the bits about me.
Yeah.
Still gave us 5 stars, so in all honesty, I don't care.
Yeah. And it's, by the way, it serves about 30,000 right now. We're doing good.
Oh, we're doing good. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
That's still over 9,000.
Yeah, it's still it's over that number. It's always happy when it's over the number the guy is saying. I got another one. Great one here on the U.S. store from Yes, I'm That Lisa. Who says, always a great...
Is that Lisa?
I don't know. It says, yes, I'm That Lisa, it says.
Well, then, yes.
So it must be That Lisa.
Terrible. Oh, I give up.
I enjoyed it. It says, these two are very funny with an amazing combination of good voices and great senses of humor. They give pretty good...
And great looks.
So we have great faces for radio.
Audacious bods.
She says, we give pretty good sound advice. On things that happen in people's lives. My favorite thing is to hear these guys get laughing ridiculously when Terpster says the Korean barbecue. Definite 5-star must listen to. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm That Lisa. And are you truly that Lisa?
I knew it was.
Yeah, you knew it was that Lisa? You knew it the whole time.
Yeah.
Very nice. We also reside on Twitter occasionally. Terpster, where can they find us there?
You can find me on twitter.com/the_T, and you can find Scott at twitter.com/extra life.
Anything else you want to pimp these days? Any cool stuff, websites, whatever?
You can go across to terpsvision.tv for all the latest in WoW Cataclysm beta goodness.
Yeah.
I guess you can check out, if you go to Frog Pants as well, you'll see the Movielicious there as well, which is another podcast I'm very passionate about.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And don't forget the what is it? The ultimate amazing Mike Schramm experience.
The incredible podcast of amazing awesomeness.
That's
the very
one.
Close.
Very close. Yeah.
You can get that over at incrediblepodcast.com, and that's very enjoyable podcast.
I prefer to call it the Mike Schramm experience.
Really? Yeah. I find I get disenfranchised with that name.
It's a good point. Yeah. You guys are great together, though, so your people should definitely be checking that out. And yes, frogpants.com is a place to go to check out this show and all others that are on the network, including the movie.
Do you know what I do on Frogpants?
What do you do?
I just go there and I just click on all the ads.
Oh, just good. Throw a little cash my way.
No, I just like them. I just think these are great adverts. I'm going to click on them.
Well, it pays to play together or something like that. I don't know what I'm saying about. But that's going to do it for us. Thank you guys so much for being here. We'll be back for show number 18 1 week from today. So please join us back then. Send us your calls and your comments. In the meantime, we love those. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Terpster, and for everyone who needs a little hypothetical help. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye. Again, I was going for dramatic. No?
I like it. It's the David Attenborough way. Goodbye. Yeah. We see Goodbye. The fish doing the thing. No one
the
does like that.
Happy yet. Herring. Happy Herring.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.